Blog Talk Radio.
I had a talk with God the other day, and I was telling him everything I had been going through. And he told me to be strong and not to worry. He said, baby girl, I'm on it. How do I put this into words? I'm gonna take everything out of my brain and use the music in my heart to try and explain how I've been feeling, what I've been doing, how I've been losing. I swear I never thought that I would go through this. Man, it gets crazy and it's been harder since he changed me. I swear them devils didn't want me till he saved me. Yeah, they be on me, they be hating, trying to kill. Girl, it ain't never been this real. For the first time in my life, my mind almost the same. My heart, it barely beats. It's hard for me to free. I'm ready to give up, but in my darkest moment, my Lord lifts me up and said, baby girl, I'm on it. Don't you stop, your time is coming. Hold your head up like you know it. When you're weakest, I am strongest. If you know like I know, you better know that I'm on it. Don't you stop, your time is now. Hold your head up right and smile. When you're strong, I'm even stronger. If you know like I know, you better know that I'm on it. Then I'm weak, my heart, it tends to weep in the middle of my sleep. My peace is at a low, I'm hurt and more, and it feels like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. I'm breaking down, I don't even smile to come around. I'm settling for anything just to get by. I'm questioning my faith, and I'm guilty, no alibi. And I'm ready to cry, but ain't no more tears coming out my eyes. And for the first time in my life, my mind all on the same. My heart, it barely beats. It's hard for me to breathe. I'm ready to give up, but in my darkest moment, my Lord lifts me up and said, baby girl, I'm on it. Don't you stop, your time is coming. Hold your head up like you know it. When you're weak, yes, I am strong. If you know like I know, you better know that I'm on it. Don't you stop, your time is now.
This is Christabella Garcia. You are with the Waywalkers Ministry. Yay! Tonight is kind of an interesting night. I was at Daily Christian Fellowship this morning meeting. It's a meeting that I go to every now and then. You know, it's there every day, but I go there maybe three times a week. You know, just keeping it real. But you know, I go there and I get a little word, get a little fellowship. You know how it is. Try and see what the Lord has for me on this day. And while I was there, you know, the message was about worship this morning. But while I was there, flipping through the pages of the Bible, I stumbled upon Amos. And I just read like one scripture, and my spirit was just like, wow, I have to read this, I have to do this. And if you're unfamiliar with the Waywalker Show, if you're new, or you know, whether you've been following for a while, you'll know that we generally pick our shows like that day. Most of our shows are picked the same day that we broadcast them. Because we believe in letting the Holy Spirit move through us. We don't believe that we need to make, you know, plan a sermon a week ahead. We just let it be fresh. We let the Lord do what he needs to do through us. And today I felt that this is where he wanted to go. So here we are tonight. We're going to read the book of Amos. And there's a few notes and things that I want to go through with all of you. And I hope you all get something from it. I know that you will. I mean, if you're listening and you're ready to hear what the Lord will say, I'm ready for the Lord to use me. So praise God. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the broadcast and sharing your time. Time is one of the treasures of the world that we have, that God has given us, and we should enjoy it. We should spend it seeking to know more about Him and seeking to know what He would want from us. And, you know, this is submission, basically. This is submitting to the will of God. So I believe right now that He's going to open up ears, and He's going to open up eyes, and He's going to open up hearts. Amos, I don't know, some people who do their Bible studies, they know it's, you know, judgment on the nations. And it leads me to question, how do we be righteous? How can you still be pleasing in the sight of God and have faith and, you know, just put yourself in the shoes of the people at that time, when God was like, you know what? I've had it with every single one of you. Every single one of you has to be punished. You've done enough wrong, and now, you know, this is what's happening. So I'm just going to open up with prayer, and I hope that you stay tuned. I hope that you keep your ears listening, and let's search the pages of the Holy Bible. This is for us. You know, this might have happened thousands of years ago, but the Lord says that, hey, there's nothing new under the sun. What was once before shall be again. Terror, you know, it seems the world goes in cycles. That's why it's spinning. It's a circle. And, you know, this is a picture for us. You know, this is just a reality check that one day there's great judgment coming upon all of us. And so, you know, if we're about to be, if anybody out there is about to be judged by the Lord and have to pay for all they've ever done, well, I think we need to know. We need to know what's going down for us, or you know. So let's just open with prayer, and then I'm going to read, and then after I'll share a little writing, and then just open talking. So here we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this night. Thank you for allowing me to speak, and for giving me a heart that hears you when you do speak, Lord Jesus. I pray that everybody listening will have those little ears in their heart open to you and hear what you would say tonight. And, Lord, that something would be gained from this broadcast, that nothing would be wasted, Lord Jesus. I pray that everybody now tunes in, Lord Jesus, that we're not just listening to empty words. We're listening to your words. And, Lord, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for anything that we've done this week, anything that we've done this lifetime, because we don't, you know, we want to be with you. We want to be on your side. We want to change for you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, help us to understand the words within these pages. And Father, bless us. Bless us with more of you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so, Judgment on the Nations, chapter 1. This isn't a very long chapter. There's like 9 chapters, but they're all very short. So we're getting a Bible study in as well, so praise the Lord. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the day of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn at the top of Carmel, shall wither. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus and for 4, not just 3, 4, I will turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the places of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the plan of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kirith, said the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four. So he gave you three people, and one more after that. I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the places thereof, and I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remember not brotherly covenant, but I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the places thereof. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the places of Bozrah. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. Wow. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and shall devour the places thereof with shouting in the day of battle, with tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together. Chapter 2, Judgment on Judah and Israel. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the places of Kiriath, and Moab shall die with tumult and shouting, and with the sound of a trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and will slay all the princes thereof with him, said the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord. They hate the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies cause them to err, and the which their fathers have walked, the way that their fathers walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and shall devour the places of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek. And the man and his father will go unto the same maid to profane my holy name. What? Some wickedness, people. And they lay themselves down upon clothes, laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet destroyed I the Am, O right, before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above, and his roots from beneath. Also I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? Is this not so? It is. It's very true. But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. You said, have a little wine to drink. Go ahead and have the drink. But don't tell me, don't prophesy to me. Don't tell me what God has to say. Behold, I am pressed under you, as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. Therefore, the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself. It doesn't matter how tough you are or how big or how strong you are. It doesn't matter how much kung fu you know. It doesn't matter if you got a gun. You're going down, basically. Neither shall he stand that handleth the bow, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself. Neither shall he run away. He that's riding a horse or a car, or, you know, the Mustang, whether it's a horse or a car, you're not delivering yourself. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, say the Lord. You're going to run away crying and whining. God has spoken. Chapter 3, hear this word that the Lord hath spoke against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? Can a bird fall into a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall the trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants and the prophets. Basically, he's told you about it. He's warned you about it. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Publish in the places at Ashdod and in the places in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults of the midst thereof and the oppressed in the midst thereof, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their places. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy places shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so will the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus on a couch. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground, and I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. The judgment on the women of Samaria. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, that lo, the day shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. And you shall go out of the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and you shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you. You like it. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord? I've given you everything, and yet you're so far away from me. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me. I took away your water, I messed with your rain, I caused things to grow, and you still are so far from me. I've smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, said the Lord. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up to your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declared unto man, what is his thought that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth? The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Hallelujah. Sounds like the Lord's a little upset right now. A lamentation for Israel. We're almost done. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and you shall live. Seek me, and you'll live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not into Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. It's going to be destroyed. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that make the seven stars and Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning and make the day dark with night, that calls for the water of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Seek the Lord, the one who does all these amazing things, that strengthened at the spoil against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuked in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, that ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in the streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such are the skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. If a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall, a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark, and no brightness in it. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Molech, and she on your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are the named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh, and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the Great, and then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their borders greater than your border? Yea, that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They eat the baby animals, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore, now shall they go captive with the first that they go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God has sworn by himself, said the Lord, the God of hosts. I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore, I will deliver up the city with all that is therein. And I shall come to pass, it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him, that is by the side of the house. Is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. And then he shall say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. For behold, for ye have thus saith the Lord God, showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. Stop, please. By whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small? The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword, that Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said, Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line. And thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, A basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, The end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the song of the temple shall be howlings in the day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place, and they shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, When will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn? When can we get back to business? And the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. Yea, and we sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, Surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day. I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro, and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall their fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. There is no escape from God's judgment. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, Smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And so don't hide in the sea, because that sounds pretty terrifying. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil, and not for good. And the Lord God of hosts is he that touches the land, and it shall melt. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that builds his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth, and he that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O Israel, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kippur, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted from a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as the days of old. They that may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that does this. Behold, the days come when the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens to eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land. And there shall be no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Amen. So that is all of Amos. It's pretty intense. As I'm reading it, I'm like, man, the Lord can really hold a grudge. but he's always been very patient with many of us. And one thing I know from reading the Bible is that, especially the Old Testament, we've done some pretty messed up, nasty things in the sight of the Lord to each other, to ourselves. But when I read Amos, I think there's a lot of greedy people. There's a lot of people doing what they want to do. You know, even today, especially today, people want to drink, they want to party, they want to have a good time. They don't want to hear what the Lord is saying. And if they do want to hear it, it's just entertainment. It's just, you know, it's a Sunday matinee. You know, someone said to me, they got saved, praise the Lord, but when they first came to the church, they were thinking, well, this is what Americans do. This is their entertainment. This stuff is hilarious. It's a joke. And, you know, I paid $10 to go to the movie, so here you go. Put that in your tithe. And, you know, the Lord was patient with that person and saved that person. The Lord saved us all. But this was pre-Jesus. This was way back when, and I can't help but be grateful. I have to be grateful for the Lord for what he's done for us. You know, we've done so much wrong. And assess your life honestly. Don't try to lie. No one's watching you. There's nothing to hide. But just keep in mind your own life. Keep in mind what you've done. I'm sure we've done so many things that we actually forget. But when we forget, the Lord does not forget. And I was praising him and thanking him for that not too long ago. You know, thank you, Lord, that, hey, I forgot to say hello today. It's the end of the day, and I'm only just, oh, shoot. You know, when we're too busy, when things are going down, we're stuck in our own business. We're stuck in our own entertainment. The Lord's still thinking about us. He's still working on our behalf. He's working with us. But there was a time, you know, he was like, this is the last straw. You've done these three horrible things. Actually four. I passed over you guys several times. But guess what? There comes a time when you have to pay when you have to pay for what your meal. Jesus wants us to eat of him and to drink of him, to be hungry for him, to be thirsty for him. But sometimes we want to eat things that aren't good for us, right? Who likes, like, cheeseburgers and fries? I do. But the Lord wants to give us, you know, he wants to be our bread. He wants to be he wants us to want to be close to him and be near to him. And, you know, he's done everything for us. And did we ever, were we ever grateful? Did we ever thank him truly with our hearts? Today in DCF, Daily Christian Fellowship, do you worship the Lord with your heart? Them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't fool the Lord. You can't hide yourself from the Lord. He sees everything. But he can hide himself from you, and that's not a good thing. As we see in Amos, these people, they're going to wish that they could hear the word of the Lord, and they're not going to hear it. How sad will it be if we know of the Lord, but we still do what we want to do? You know, we're the people of God, whatever. You know, should we continue in sin that grace would abound? I'd hope not. We have to have some respect for our Lord. Amen. We have to start caring about the things of the Lord deeply. Deeply. Do you care? I'll ask you all, do you care what the Lord's done for you? Do you take a moment every now and then and reflect? It's okay if it's been a while, you know, just be honest and let your hearts be hit, if that's how it is. Because we see what happens when the Lord has had enough. How terrible. You will not escape it. If you want to try and run from this, hey, you might flee the lion, but the bear is going to eat you. You might get into a house away from a mob or away from some soldiers or something, but you're going to get hit by the snake. And that's intense. I'm pretty scared of snakes, I'm not going to lie. I definitely do not like them. But what about all you people out there? What do you think about snakes? What do you feel about snakes? What do you feel about the great and terrible day of the Lord? You know, a few months back I did a similar broadcast about Thessalonians. I read Thessalonians when the Lord was speaking to me, and you know what? That broadcast Satan intercepted. I was literally kicked off of Blog Talk. It said that I was still recording, but it wasn't recording, and it wouldn't let me call into the show to stop broadcasting. So it was just a whole broadcast of nothing. But it was a powerful broadcast. And so praise the Lord that tonight I can share another powerful broadcast. I just read all of Amos to you all. And I would like to know what you think and feel about it. That's for us today. It's just as much for us today as it was for the people then. Amen. I'll say it again. It's just as much for us as it was for the people then. Hallelujah. So be it. There's an even more terrible day than that coming upon us. Did you know that? It's time to wake up and not be sleeping. It's time to get serious about this. It's time to accept Jesus Christ, but not to just say, yeah, I'm in. I'm in the club. I call myself the Son of God. Actually be one. Actually care. The Lord has a big problem with people who use people. The Lord has a big problem with people who mistreat good people. Amen. We've all done it at one point or another. We've been used or used people. We know how it feels to be on both ends. Some of us are impervious to reality and think you know, you might disagree. Praise the Lord that your eyes and your ears are opening now in the name of Jesus, and you're able to get this in you. Get it in you. Get the Holy Spirit in you. Get the word of the Lord in you. It will change your life. It said the only ones that are going to be saved are the ones that are going to call upon the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? It's not Lord. That's a title. It's not a name. Jesus, the only name given where we can be saved, literally meaning Savior, saves. That's the only name been given. That's the perfect lamb. That was the lamb slain as the atonement for sin. And if you think that you can say, shut up, don't talk to me about this. I don't want to hear that. Amos says, that's old news, long gone. I'm New Testament now. I'm living Jesus 24/7. But yet, you're just worried about your business. You're worried about your family. You're worried about your plans on Saturday night. You don't care about the Sabbath. You don't care about what's holy. You don't care about if God is pleased with you or not. You don't want to please him. You actually think that by you showing up on Sunday after partying Saturday night, you drag your carcass in there on Sunday. Yeah, you sing a few hymns. Oh, I can't wait to get out of here because I'm so hungry. I just want to relax. You know what? We're not here to be relaxing. I know we get tired, and the Lord does want us to enjoy our lives and be full of life. But that's not Six Flags or some carnival or a night on the town. Because if you truly have the Spirit of the Lord in you, you'd be doing as he commanded. You'd be doing what pleased him. Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. He only said what he heard the Father speak. He didn't do anything for himself. He did everything for others. He did everything for the Father. So you could put that in your pipe and smoke it. What do you do for others? And what do you do for God? That should be where you serve. That should be where your joy is found. Bringing joy to the Lord is your strength. You know, many of us are not reading the Bible. Many of us are not helping anybody. We're not even helping ourselves. Some of us are lazy. Some of us quit on life and gave up. We're just watching the clock and waiting for, you know, to be hit by a bus and get out of here. You think, oh, Lord, I'm sick of this place. Just take me now. It's like the person who just started working and can't wait to clock out. But come payday, where's my money? Right? Pay me. Pay me for doing a job half the passion, half the dedication, half the commitment. Yeah, I know. Half. Fill in the blanks. The Lord's tired of that. That's what I feel like he's telling me. He's very tired of our greed. He's very tired of our... We're not intimate with him. We don't want to have a relationship with him, and yet we want to call ourselves relatives. I don't want to go to the family reunion. It's boring there. All those people that got invites to the Lamb's wedding dinner there, the feast with the Lord. You were all invited to the wedding as VIPs, and you said, nah, I ain't going to that. I got better things to do. What do you have better to do, might I ask? What do you want to do? What's more interesting than what the Lord wants? Let me tell you something about the Lord. He designed you. He designed me for a specific reason, to do a specific thing or things. He designed us to be used to intercept people on their way to hell. He used us to be light to those in the darkness, just like Jesus was a light. You know, he made us so that we could make a difference. That, you know, as he put Gideon on like a glove, he put you on like a sock. Praise the Lord. He made us for him, for his good purposes, for his good pleasure. He made us tools. We're pottery. We're vessels. Think of yourself as a jar. You're a nice jar. Handcrafted. Custom made. One of a kind. Nobody else like you. Even if you had a twin. Even they're different. Different life, different path, different purpose. And what do? We think we're big deals. We think because we come waltzing in our suits and our fancy pants, we sit in a pew that's been freshly polished. Nice. Well, God should be happy that I'm even here. Are you for real right now? Don't you want to be with the Lord? Don't you want to go to a Bible study? Don't you want to go study and see for yourself what the Lord's saying? What the Lord's done? What it means to you? What your purpose is? Before I came to Christ, I was always wondering, what's the purpose of life? Many of you have asked that. What's the point of even being here? No matter what I do, I'm not happy. No matter how much good that I do, I'm miserable. People keep stealing my stuff. Kids keep breaking my stuff. My partner doesn't treat me properly. I try to do good and people misunderstand me. I try to keep the peace and my hair's falling out. I'm full of wrinkles. I'm getting dusty. Just, Lord, bury me. Get me out of here. I want to be with you. That's funny. You think God's your vacation, but you haven't even put in the work hours yet. You want to get vacation pay. You don't want to do no work. You want to rip people off. You want to rip the Lord off. You want to evade the IRS. This is a very serious, you know, I got a little serious with some people today, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you find what I'm saying boring. I'm sorry if you have a little voice in your head right now that's saying a whole bunch of stuff. What does this girl know? What is she talking about? You know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect here. I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody here. I'm not saying that, I'm not saying anything definitive about you. I don't know any of you. I don't need to know any of you. You're either a child of God or you're not. But, you know, repenting might be needed. Correction might be needed. Because if you know, the righteous, the people who are righteous, we have to be there for each other. If I see somebody doing something dangerous, even take it out of a religious or a spiritual thing and just put it in a worldly sense, I witness a crash. There's somebody bloody and dying. Who would just drive past that? No, you're supposed to stop. You're supposed to call the ambulance. You're supposed to call for the authorities. You're supposed to stay with that person. No matter how traumatizing or horrible it is, you stay with that person until help arrives. You do what you can. Somebody's choking. You're not going to try CPR. You're not going to call 911. I don't know what to do. Instruct me. If you would do that on a worldly, carnal sense, just because that's what the Lord has placed within every single one of us, a part of himself that should care about life, why do we call 911? why do we help people? Why don't we just let people die? Why not just be like all them jerks, overpopulation, as if they think they own the planet or something, as if they think they're the landlords of the earth. You have too many people in your family. You have bad credit. Well, let me tell you something. The Lord is saying to us all, you all got bad credit. None of you are fit to live in my mansions. That's right. The pastors, the priests, the preachers, the evangelists, the prophets, Mother Teresa. None of you, not even me. None of you, you know, we are that stinky relative. We're that relative that nobody likes, a little bit weird. We are the weird and strange ones. But the Lord cleaned us up, and he wants to clean us up. He wants to help us. The Lord say, you're filthy. You stink. The stench of sin and death is upon you. Get away from me. Take a bath. But what did the Lord want to do? He want to wash our feet. He wants us with him. And even a step further, he protects us. Like, you know, I remember when I was younger, there would be some handicapped kids at school. And kids are not very nice. Some are, but we know there's bullies. There's bullies everywhere. Kids aren't very nice. Some kids, I just watched a video online where these one high school kids, they punched out a blind guy. What? Not in my day. You could make fun of anybody for looking weird, smelling weird, talking weird, eating things weird. Maybe their parents got too many cats. Who knows? You make fun of somebody for pretty much anything under the sun. But when it comes to a handicap, mm-mm. People want to fight you if you injure a handicapped person. That's how it was when I was growing up. You say what now? You push a kid out of his wheelchair? Well, now I'm going to push you some. I'm going to avenge the situation. Well, the Lord is our avenger. He will repay everyone. The Bible says this several times. The Lord's going to repay every single one of us. You're not getting away with nothing. You know, it's like those people who are at work and they're doing lawless things, fill in the blanks. All the things that people get caught spitting in people's food, and, you know, it gets worse than that, and I don't really need to go there. But people doing things at work, and they, oh, wait, this is on film. There used to be a show, actually, on TV that had just video compilations of people getting caught doing whack stuff at work. What are you doing on the job? Are you living this life for yourself? And so I read Amos, and it's eye-opening for me, truly. You know, it doesn't matter what goes on in our own personal lives. It doesn't matter if we fail. It doesn't matter if we fall. It doesn't matter how far we fall. As Amos said, it didn't matter if you thought you were on your way to heaven climbing, nice and chipper, everything was good. It doesn't matter if you were burying yourself to hell. Doesn't matter if you were living the life of scum, the life of filth, being a prostitute, being a pimp, being a scam artist, being a murderer. The Lord is really against con artists. But let's ask yourself that. No matter what you do, good or bad, Amos, the book of Amos says, you're not escaping the judgment of the Lord. No escape, okay? You think you're going to hide under the sea, you people in Saudi Arabia? You elite that think you can live underground? You people that think you can dig into the mountains? You're pretty foolish, and quite honestly, you're wasting your fortune. That's not even your fortune. It's the Lord's. Everything belongs to the Lord, including you. It's like, if I have a dog, I paid for it. I raised it since it was a puppy. I got its meals. I registered it as mine. You think if someone's going to come to my house and take my dog? It happens. It's happened to me. I had a Dalmatian one time. Somebody literally came into my house, took the dog out of my house, and shut the door behind them. How nice of them. It happens. But the Lord has given us a choice. Yeah, we're his property. He made us. You know, it's like if I make a porcelain doll, I hand paint it, put it on the shelf, it's mine. But a porcelain doll doesn't have a choice. It goes where I put it. It looks how I want it to look. Can't say nothing. Can't do nothing. We have mobility. We have a breath of life, very breath. God's life is in us. That's not your breath. You didn't make it. You don't own it. Well, even the children you gave birth to, they might have grown in your body. You had absolutely nothing to do with it. You're quite ignorant on it. Lord said, look to the person who made Orion. Look to the person who makes the sky black. The person who made the depths of the sea. For your help, for your questions on life. Don't look to your tarot cards. You know, don't go to the newspaper to read your horoscope column. Lord's not happy. He's really not. He's not happy with us going to work and not being happy either. Because he gave us a job so that we could make money. So that we're not poor. So that we're not cold. So that we're not hungry. We're not without. We're just miserable people. Quite honestly. But out of all the things that he said in Amos, he said, I'm going to take my word from you. I'm taking my words from you. You're going to look for the word of the Lord, and you're not going to find it. These people in the last days are going to wish and hope that there was a God to save them. That's what they'll be saying. They'll be crying, oh, Jesus, God, where are you? Help me. He's not, and he won't be there. He will remove his spirit. He will remove his spirit from the earth. And you're not going to find it. Because you didn't want it. We didn't want it when we could have had it. When we had time to draw near to him, he made it real easy for us. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Seek me, you'll find me. Ask, it'll be given unto you. Whatever you want, whatever you need, I got you. I got your back. I got your family's back. I'm taking you along with me. We're going all the way, me and you, kid. He was like the coach from Rocky. And then better. Hallelujah. What do you need? Honestly, what do we need? One of the problems that Jesus has with some of the churches is, I have all I need. I don't want for nothing. You're complacent. You are way too comfortable. You got a desk job. You got your feet up on the table. You pay other people to do your work. And you pay them silver while you get the gold. This is Amos. You rip people off. You cheat and lie on the books. You try to pay people under the table, you weasel. You care more about getting ahead, more about success than doing what's right. There's a lot of people working right now, busting their butts off, doing the jobs that you don't want to do, the hard jobs, landscapers, construction workers, fill in the blanks, nurses, dealing with people's blood and pee and just seeing death all the time and just seeing sickness, the effects of sin. We can see it all around us. We're not ignorant of it. It's a shock to me that more people aren't coming to the Lord because the signs of the times are obvious. Time to wake up. Time to get to work. If you do not call upon the name of the Lord, then great and terrible is judgment for you. And these people were the people, his own peeps. He saved them. He did everything for them. He brought them out of bondage. He provided for them supernaturally. We're in Bible studies on Monday. We're in Genesis, people. We just read this. Go back to the archives and look it up. BlogTalkRadio.com, Waywalkers, WWN, iTunes.com, The Waywalkers. We got a lot of shows. Praise the Lord. But this is a challenge to everybody. Who am I? I'm just one woman. One woman. But you know what? The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has been good to me. The Lord has saved me. He's saved me from my crappy way of thinking. He's saved me from, you know, the dog who keeps eating its vomit. We all go back to the vomit. He brushes our teeth. He cleans us up. We go back out and we drink. We puke everywhere. We say, Lord, you know, Lord, I'm not going to drink anymore. You know, I'm repenting. I'm giving this up. 2 months later. And he still forgives us and he re-cleans us up again. He's actually holding our hair while we puke. He never let us down. We let him down. We have to realize that. He gave us a job to do, many jobs. He gave us people to speak to about him. He gave us people. You know what? You ought to annoy people with how much you love God. If people aren't annoyed by you, you're not doing it right. You either need to be exciting people and bringing life to people or driving them absolutely bonkers. There's no middle ground. That's called being lukewarm. Can two, Amos 3:3, let's read it. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Oh, I got a lot of atheist friends and family. I got a lot of people who believe a lot of different things. I got people that want to argue with me over doctrines and people who think they're right and I'm wrong. Praise the Lord. Good. Sometimes I am wrong. Sometimes I don't fully understand everything. But what I do know is I love the Lord with all my heart, with everything that's in me. When I do wrong, I feel bad about it. I don't want to do wrong. I don't like to do wrong. I want to be with the Lord. I want to be like the Lord in any way possible. I'm ashamed of the bad things that I do or that I think. I give it to the Lord. That's what he wants. Less of us, more of him. And it's interesting because the Lord said there's no law on kindness and goodness and love and mercy and patience. All the good stuff in life. All the stuff that everybody wants. You can have as much as that. Give that stuff out like cake on a birthday. Give it to everybody at the party. Give seconds on that. And yet, we're doing the opposite. Yeah. We get more excited over watching UFC on a TV. People are watching the game, the hockey game, whatever. I'm in Canada. It's hockey right now, okay? They're getting pretty excited. They're yelling at the TV. They're yelling at the radio. It's like they're there. But if you say the word of the Lord, if you yell the word of the Lord, you're looking at your cell phone reacting to like, what? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. People look at you like you have three heads. They say, shut up. Go do that in your privacy of your own home. Go do that in the privacy of your own home. But when it comes to gay pride, woo, yeah, celebrate your differences. Be proud of who you are. Shout it to the world. Praise the Lord. You know, good for you. You can go sing I'm Bringing Sexy Back. Yeah. But if you go sing Praise the Lord, Praise, Hallelujah, Jesus, I love you, people go, you need to check yourself into some place. Oh, far away from me, because you're weird. Also, your voice sucks, and I think I'm feeling queasy. What's up with that? You're not allowed to be excited about God in today's day, and the ones who are, all for fundamentals. We're a little bit weird. We're Fruit Loops. We're weird. We're naive. We're gullible. We're the lowest of the planet. And good. Because our God is great. And they made him. He made himself low. He humbled himself. He was born in a barn. He was born in a trough. We're born in hospitals where everything's like sanitized and, we're catered to. But our own king, our own God, was born like an animal. Emmanuel, God with us, the God who saves. And that's what it's all about. That's all it's ever been about. We see from the book of Amos that we've angered the Lord. We've angered the Lord, and we deserve everything we're going to get. And everybody seems to take for granted the Lord. Everybody seems to think that they can sin. They can do everything. Oh, I'm saved, the blood of Jesus Christ. But I don't do anything that I'm supposed to do in the covenant. I don't care about the laws, really, because I'm under grace. Hallelujah, jackpot. I got baptized. I was baptized in the name of Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. I prophesy even. I was used for prophecy even. You're going to say this to Jesus too in the judgment. I cast out demons in your name. It was epic. Look at it. Look at the Lord. You remember? Yeah, I was there. But I don't know you. Depart from me. You did what you did for yourself, not for me. Selfish gain. Why don't you try to gain from Christ for yourself? That's just a thought. I'm a little bit rebuking today. This is for myself too. In no way do I say that I am somehow, I got it all figured out. I don't, but I have faith. I have hope in Jesus Christ alone. That no matter how messed up and misled I am, he's got me. He's teaching me. He's speaking to me. He said, talk about Amos. I didn't have to go write a sermon. You know, well, it's Thanksgiving. We need to do a Thanksgiving sermon. Oh, Christmas is coming up. Time to talk about the Star of Bethlehem. Time to talk about baby born in a manger. We already know that story. Why don't we start talking about the sin? Why don't we start talking about the judgment? Because nobody wants to hear it. But whoever receives a prophet in the name of Jesus Christ receives the prophet's reward or the prophet's blessing. But Book of Amos says nobody wants to hear that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for Amos. I flip over that. It's only 2 pages. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for everybody still listening, for everybody that didn't get bored and go click on, you know, Vines, didn't go watch some random stuff somewhere or someplace, and actually heard the cry of the Lord. He wants to use you the same way he's using me. These thoughts, they're not my thoughts. It's not. At one point, hey, I said, Lord, use me. He downloaded this information. He said, read it. I said, all right, I read it. And then as I read it, oh, this is what pops out to me. I'm not a genius. I'm not slow either. Praise the Lord. But I understand. See, he gave us wisdom. He gave us understanding. Because we wanted it. Because we asked for it. We needed it. I'm tired of not knowing. I'm tired of being left out. I want to be where the action is. I want to be with the Lord. Nothing else matters. But there's some people out there, some real ambitious people. They want what they want. Take what you want and leave the rest. That's not how the Bible is. That's not how God operates. You take it all or you get nothing. I don't know. There's a lot of people who are okay with just enough, just a little. And I challenge you to dig deeper. Dig deeper into the Lord. Get interested in the Lord. He's very interesting. He's blessed me so much. And we don't do it for the blessing. We don't do it for the crown. We do it for the glory of him, because he's revealed himself to us. He's removed the dirt from our eyes. He's removed the darkness from around us. Darkness, sin and death has no hold on us. That doesn't mean that we continue doing what we do. It means that now we understand that nothing else matters. Your job doesn't matter. Your life, apart from God, does not matter. It's empty. To live is to die, but Christ is gain. That's life. This thing that we have now is referred to, this is the shadow of death. This is a battleground for the hearts of men. I have something to read here a little bit more. Thank you for staying with me. This is going to be very awesome, very amazing. It's only a few pages, a few being 3 or more or 14 of them. But stick with me, okay? And know that I love every single one of you. Anybody listening to this, you're my friend, you're my brother, you're my sister. You might not like what I say. You might think, well, that's not my style, or that's not true. You want to argue, you want to fight, you want to be a professor. Okay, cool. There's plenty other places you can click on. But if you want to hear something real, you want to hear something true, keep listening. We don't lie on the Weight Watchers ministry. We don't falsify anything in the Weight Watchers ministry. If I have something to say, I'll say, hey, this is my opinion. Freedom of speech. But my freedom, my liberty comes from the Lord. It's not of myself. So this is about Amos 5, 1 to 7. The grace of true repentance in the face, unstoppable judgment. All right. And I'm going to read it for you all because it's just, It's truly amazing. It's going to speak life into you. I believe that it will. Amos chapter 5, 1 to 17 is one of the series of judgment, speeches against Israel, the northern kingdom, and so in today's passage we learn not primarily of the God of God's love, which is greater than any love we can think of, but we learn something of God's justice in judging sin. We learn of his holy anger. We see that our God's patience has an end. You can't just do what you want and get away with it. There's no get out of jail free card apart from Jesus. When you cross that line, his justice in condemning wickedness is frightening. More than that, it's terrifying. Moses said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, Exodus 34:6. This is absolutely true. God is slow to anger, but he gets angry. God does eventually reach a point where a holy anger against a rebellious people reaches a boiling point. Patience is a wonderful quality. Being slow to anger shows great love and grace, but this is only true if that patience can come to an end. It's a good thing to be slow to anger, but it's not a good thing to be incapable of anger altogether. Someone who cannot get angry has no backbone. Someone who cannot get angry is someone who cannot stand up for what is right, and it is someone with no moral integrity. I'm not talking about a worldly anger, but an anger that is stirred over right versus wrong, good versus evil. Someone who cannot at all be moved to anger is a moral coward. He sees evil and does nothing. Not only does he do nothing, but he feels no emotion. Might as well be a robot. As he witnesses evil, his heart remains unmoved. I just watched someone get stabbed. Wow. Better go get a burger. Anyone who is both good and strong will bear with suffering, and he can be slow to anger. But sooner or later, that patience will come to an end. Otherwise, someone gets the idea that he is a spineless weakling who allows himself to be pushed around, abused and bullied. God is slow to anger, but he does get angry. There's a saying that goes, beware the fury of a patient man. And this is what we see in Amos. I shouldn't tell the story, but it's an illustration of the point that I'm trying to make. Growing up, there was one night I'll never forget. Now, normally we had someone helping my mother around the house because I'm ashamed to say we were a messy bunch. So are my children, praise the Lord. But this specific week, no one was there helping. And so while we were watching TV as usual, all week my mother was cleaning up our rooms, our bathrooms, the living room. Then, on the next day, when the house was all clean, we would get home from school. We dirty the rooms, the kitchen, the living room again, taking no notice that she spent all day cleaning our mess. She would obviously tell us to clean up after ourselves, but let's be honest. Do you think we listened to her? Of course not. We had homework and TV. So with no help at all, this carried on all week, every day. So on this, I think it was Friday evening, my whole family was sitting in front of the TV watching some silly show. We were all fixed to this TV. My brother, my sister, my dad, and so was I. All of us except my mother. She was in the kitchen making food. Again, she even brought our food to us so that we wouldn't miss a moment of our TV show. After we had our food, we put our plates down right there in front of us in the living room. And my mother even came out and took them back to the kitchen. After the week, she still did all this for us. What were we doing? Watching TV, of course. And while we were all laughing in the living room, she was washing the dishes alone in the kitchen. I think she washed one plate, and then she came into the living room with the whole stack of plates unwashed. She exploded. Her patience had run out. She took the stack of dirty plates, threw them to the ground, shouting something like, "I'm not your slave." We abused her all week, and she was slow to anger. But she was no spineless jellyfish. She had a backbone and stopped the injustice and taught us all in a very valuable lesson. Beware the fury of a patient woman. Hallelujah. Needless to say, for the next month, our rooms have never been as clean as they were that week. Dishes were washed and food was made by someone other than my mother. After that, the only one watching TV was my mother, and the rest of us were cleaning. Hallelujah. That's correction right there. It's very similar with God, especially when we're reading the prophets, and we'll see how God's patience reaches us in an end. The point I want to make now is, if God doesn't get angry, it shows he's a moral coward, and he shows that he's a spineless jellyfish, and that he allows abuse of his own holy law with no punishment for any of these injustices. God's patience is vast, far greater than ours, but it's not the patience of a spineless weakling. God is no jellyfish. He has a spine, and because he has a spine, his patience, unlike some of his other divine attributes, is not infinite. God can come to the end of his rope. He can be provoked once too often. And the book of Amos is a moment in history where God had no more patience. In this book, God says, "This is the last straw." Many say the minor prophets are difficult to understand. The reason why this passage of the book of Amos and all of the minor prophets are so difficult to understand for the everyday Christian is mostly because we don't really understand the history behind these books. There is a whole story taking place behind each of these prophetic books. And once the story is understood, then understanding the books themselves become a whole lot easier. We need to look at the bigger story taking place behind Amos. So this morning, to help us all, or tonight, to help us understand the prophetic books, I want to take a step back and just look for a moment at this story taking place behind the book of Amos. Now let's look at redemptive historical understanding. Firstly, we need to take a quick step back and look at the big picture, or a larger story of which Amos is a small part of. I want to start with Moses in Deuteronomy 28. Blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience, underlying all of the prophets' books like a sort of foundation, is Deuteronomy 28. If you don't understand Deuteronomy 28, you will be struggling to understand all of these minor prophetic books. So what happened was, before Israel was a nation, entered into the promised land that God gave them, God, knowing the sinful heart, warned them. God entered into a covenant with them. There was a binding contract between God and the Israelites. And in it, God simply stated that, "I am your God, you are my people. I'm devoted to you, that means you must be devoted to me. If I'm your God, then you must in turn also be my people. I am a jealous God. I have given you a law. Be devoted to me and obey my law. If you obey my law." If you obey my law, then I'll bless you, basically. I will honor the covenant, and I'll bless you abundantly. However, if you disobey me and break my law and abandon my covenant and turn to false idol worship, then I will punish you. More than that, I will curse you. And I will remove you from the promised land that I gave you, flowing with milk and honey. This is, in a nutshell, Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28:1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commandments I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth. Verses Deuteronomy 28:15-20. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and you do not carefully follow all of his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all of these curses will come on you. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to. Wow. Until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. And this is exactly what happened to Israel under King David. God blessed his people for their covenantal obedience. But then slowly, as they started turning away from the law written in Deuteronomy and the rest of the Torah, the nation started falling apart. Solomon started with idol worship, and he brought his own people into forced labor to continue expanding the nation. Both forced labor and idol worship are clearly acts that break the laws written in Deuteronomy. After Solomon's death, his son Rehoboam takes over the throne, And he not only continues the forced labor, but increases the workload. Naturally, the people were fed up and there was rebellion in the land, a civil war. The great kingdom David and Solomon was now divided into two kingdoms, the southern kingdom with Jerusalem as the capital city and Rehoboam as king, and the northern kingdom with Samaria as the capital and Jeroboam as king of the rebelling side. Things seemed to get worse and worse. The northern kingdom only had bad kings that led the people into deeper disobedience, and the southern kingdom had some good things, but mostly bad kings. This is where you see God's patience. He saw the disobedience of his people, but in his patience was slow to anger, and he kept sending his prophets to north and to the south to warn his people that they're heading for severe judgment. He warned them and urged them to turn back to him in repentance. Prophet after prophet after prophet, they all came into the cities with Deuteronomy in hand. They showed the people their sin according to God's law. They said, no, according to the Bible, the word of God, you can't do this. This is not righteousness. This is not pleasing to the Lord. So what? Shut up, is what they were told. All the prophets told the king that curses are coming because of their covenant-breaking sin. This is where the books of the prophets came from in our Bible. They're basically the sermons that were written by these prophets when they went to tell the people that they need to repent and turn back to God. 2 Kings 13:23 says, but the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion and showed concern for them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To this day, he has been unwilling to destroy them or banish them from his presence. God sent his prophets, waiting for his people to turn back and repent, but his people never did. His eventual patience ran out. In 722 BC, the nation of Assyria, a superpower of military might, comes down, sweeping destruction through the northern kingdom and completely destroys that nation. I mean, they're quite literally reduced to nothing. This is where Amos comes in, where Amos was a prophet sent to the northern kingdom right before this judgment came. He came to warn the people of his judgment. He had Deuteronomy in his hand and preached to the people warning them, but they didn't listen. Now that we understand the background well enough, let's look to verse 1 and 3 and 16 and 17. Amos' funeral song. As we work our way through this passage, I want you to think of a movie, the soundtrack that always plays in the background. Amos walks into the city and preaches that judgment is coming, certain death is coming. Then he has God's word in Deuteronomy 28 in his hand, proving that what he's saying is true. And as he preaches, I want you to imagine a song playing in the background, just like you do when you watch a scene in a movie. What song? A funeral song. As I preach through these verses, I don't want you to forget that in the background, this funeral song is playing. It's epic. As you guys know, I went to the funeral last weekend. A very good friend of mine committed suicide. I'll never forget what I felt like when we arrived at the church. There was a depressing veil, like a cloud, hanging over the church. You could see the pain on everyone's faces. As we walked into the church, you could feel the thick atmosphere of the sadness in the air. It was a dark, miserable moment as we said goodbye to a loved one. Throughout the service, I sat there with a broken heart, but I kept my composure and kept my tears up until the end. It was at the end of the service when they carried out his coffin while playing this funeral song where I just cracked up and burst into tears. I looked around at this funeral song where I just cracked up and burst into tears, and it seemed to have the same effect on everyone else. The sadness we felt at the start of the service was now three times worse. It seemed like the whole church burst into tears as the funeral song was sung. This is a funeral song I want you to imagine in the background of Amos' message. Hear what Amos says in verse 1 to 3. Hear this word, Israel, this lament I take up concerning you. Fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again, deserted in her own land with no one to lift her up. This is what the sovereign Lord says to Israel. Your city that marches out 1,000 strong will have only 100 left. Your town that marches out 100 strong will only have 10 left. Amos takes up lament in verse 1. This is another way of saying that he's weeping over the funeral song that he hears playing in the background, because Amos knows that the funeral song in Israel, that this is Israel's funeral song. This is going to happen. What you're reading is sadly nothing more than the funeral of a nation. A lament speaks of death, where there should have been life, complete abandonment, where there should have been companionship, and punishment, when there should have been inheritance. Amos weeps because Israel is a fallen virgin, never to rise again, deserted in her own land with no one to lift her up. Amos speaks in past tense. He knows that God's patience is no more. He knows that judgment is certain. For this nation, it was like reading about their own funeral in the newspaper. Imagine waking up as you sip your coffee. There's a headline in the newspaper: your death. God speaks here of decimation and total destruction. My dad always tells me stories of when he went to the army. Tells us there were 1,000 and only 100 remained. And where there were 100, only 10 remained. This is devastating. 90% death toll. Imagine those days when all the men were called to the army, but only 10% of them returned. This is the death that's coming upon this nation. This is God's judgment. Look at 16 and 17. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. There will be wailing in the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. There will be wailing in the vineyards, for I will pass through your midst, say the Lord. And I hear that, you know, this little thing came to my mind about the Georgia Guide sounds and about how they're saying this world is